Lynn for opening our service from Romans chapter 15. I didn't speak to Lynn earlier and to let her know that my message today is coming from Romans 16. So we have 15 and then 16 and really it was so fitting. Can you tell us the verses again that you read, Lynn? Because I think it was very, very much connecting with my message this morning. And I just love how God weaves things together. Don't you? 5 through 9. And I'll read them together and you'll see how they flow today with the text. So 5 through 9 from Romans 15 says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Well, this glory theme, we've been singing about the glory, and we're gonna talk about the glory of God today. So if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, open to Romans 16. Romans 16, the title of my message this morning, as you can see, is Year-End Doxology. And so early in the week, I was praying about what to preach about on this final Sunday of the year, which I love that it happens to land on the final day of the year, or on the final day and the final Sunday. And my heart and mind were directed to looking at the end of a book of the Bible. Go to the end of a book. And I'd been reading in my devotional time through the book of Romans, and I think God was using that, so I went right to the end of the book of Romans, and what I found was a doxology. And after reading and reflecting on it and praying about it, I felt this is where God wants us to be today. So as a year-end doxology, if you're able, let's stand together. This is our text today, and let's read it. From Romans 16, 25 to 27, let's read together. "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you for your holy word. Father, we come before your word with a humble heart. So thankful for this revelation. So thankful, Lord, that it is so personal and timeless and powerful. Oh, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts this morning be pleasing in your sight. Oh, Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So as we know by now, Romans 16, 25 to 27 is what we call a doxology. And a doxology is a short expression of praise or glory to God. For those of you that like languages, you'll be interested to know that the word doxology is two words together. Doxa, which means glory, and logos, which means words. We put them together and we have word of glory to God. Word of glory. So doxologies are all about the glory of God, displaying his glory, pointing to his glory. They're found in the Bible as conclusions to songs and prayers, or as in our case today, at the end of a book. Now, I grew up singing a doxology every week, and how many of you sang a doxology growing up every week? You probably are familiar with this, so how about if you know the tune and you know the words, let's sing it together. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen." Look at that. Beautiful. Well done. We've sung a doxology. A doxology has been sung millions upon millions upon millions of times. So doxologies are very important to the people of God. They illustrate, and rather, to illustrate this, we could turn to the book of the Psalms. The Psalms is filled with doxologies. And the Psalms is the hymn book of the Hebrews, and is actually made up of five collections of books. So there's five books within the Psalms, and each of those collections ends with a doxology. So the first book within the Psalms is chapters 1 to 41, and it ends with the doxology of verse 13 of chapter 1. I think I have it here. Let's read it together. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. This is a word of glory and praise to God. It concludes book one. And the other four divisions have a similar word of praise or glory as a doxology. The final psalm, Psalm 150, is itself a grand doxology. And it reads this, you know, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. We got the French horn here this morning. Praise Him with the lute and the harp and the tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Bang, bang. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a doxology, amen? What an incredible doxology, ending the whole of the Psalms. And we find doxologies in the New Testament as well. Here's a few examples from Philippians 4. Let's read this one together. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And from Revelation, let's read together. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom of priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Perhaps one of the most famous doxologies is from Jude, verses 24 and 25, as there's only one chapter in Jude, if you're wondering. And it reads, and let's read it together. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. What a beautiful doxology. Why did the apostles love doxologies? Well, I submit to you that they loved doxologies because they loved the glory of God. They loved the glory of God. And oh, that we would be like them in that way, that we would love the glory of God, and that His glory would consume our lives, that His glory would consume our passions and be our very reason for living. At the close of this year and on the last day of 2017, we are on an axis. We have 2017 behind us, virtually, and we are hours away from 2018. It's time to recenter our lives, to be reminded of why we're here on earth and what really matters most. And I offer to you that the glory of God is to be paramount. There are many good things to focus on in life, purposes that may be helpful or healthy and positive, but on this annual axis, I pray that you will carefully consider with me how the glory of God might be more of a passion and more of a holy pursuit in our day-to-day living. Now, for many of us, 2017 has had its highs and lows. Some of you here may feel there were more highs than lows in 2017. And for others, you will see this last year as having more lows than highs. But over the mountain peaks and the deep valleys and through the sorrows and alongside the joys that we have faced, the constant transcendent truth is that the Almighty God is glorious forever and forever worthy of all the praise and glory we can offer Him. Amen? So with that in mind, let's consider the word of glory, the doxology from Romans 16. And I have a couple of background details that I'd like to share before we get there. So for this doxology in Romans 16, this is the longest of the Apostle Paul's. We noted some of the others that he wrote, but this is the longest. Now, it's also the longest letter that he wrote, that being Romans. Paul has not been to Rome just yet, but he someday hopes to get there, as he says in chapter 15. He tells them that that is his plan. Now, he doesn't know if he'll ever get to Rome. So these last words, he realizes, I imagine, may be his very last words ever to this church in Rome. Now, the short form of the doxology could go this way, and I've just bolded the letters. Now to him, and we could skip down to the end, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ, amen. If we just had the beginning and the end, we could say that is a doxology. And that would be a short form of a doxology. Paul could have simply said this, and that would have been fine. But after all that he had written in his letter, after the riches of doctrine, the theology, the truth about God and salvation and living that out, Paul couldn't help himself. The short form just would not do. So he could have chosen to fill that doxology with many things. He could have filled it with attributes of God. Now to him, he could have began, to him who loves us, and so on and so on. Now to him who made the universe and made all that is in it, and so on and so on. Now to him who is merciful and just. He could have said, there are so many things, so many routes he could have taken. But Paul didn't go those routes. Instead, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes, to him who is able to strengthen you. That's where he begins. What is the Bible saying here? The Bible is saying here, glorious is God who is able to give strength to his people. So there's a little sentence you could remember today. Remember, perhaps write this one down if you're going to remember a sentence today. Glorious is God who is able to give strength to his people. This word of glory to God contains a great word of encouragement for you and for me. Do you agree? You may remember in the news recently, just weeks ago, that Zimbabwean dictator Robert Mugabe was ousted from leadership. How many of you followed that in the news? Quite an incredible event. He, like many dictators and corrupt leaders of various kinds through the centuries, have looked to bring glory to themselves by crippling the people they rule, especially the middle class. They do so by stepping on their backs, stealing from them, using tactics of fear and intimidation. Over the millennia, thousands upon thousands of kings and rulers and dictators have established themselves in this way, seeking glory, seeking power, seeking fame. God, the God of the Bible, on the other hand, does the very opposite. God will get glory, but not by hurting his people, not by keeping them down, but rather by helping them, by strengthening them, by establishing them. I like the way Piper put it, John Piper. He said, God does not secure his strength by keeping his people weak. He magnifies his glory by making his people strong. God is in the business of making his people strong by making you strong, dear believer. Not weak, not helpless. Now, the word there, strength, is sterizo in the Greek. Actually, as I read sterizo, it made me think of steroids, you know, that make us strong. But that's not the etymology of the word. I looked it up. I was like, no, it didn't come out of there. But there's an interesting connection there. But God makes us strong. Actually, the word means to firmly fix in place. So some of your Bibles may read, God, he is able, the one who is able to establish you. And where we have in the ESV or in perhaps the NIV, the one who is able to strengthen you, establish, strengthen. The idea comes from is from the same word, means to support or fix firmly in place. Here's the idea. God is wise enough. He's powerful enough. He is loving enough. He's gracious enough to establish you, to strengthen you in the faith. And why do we need to know this today? Why is this important? Let me tell you why. Because some here this morning are perhaps feeling rather weak in the faith. Perhaps you're feeling like the ground beneath you is shaken. With all that you've been through this year or what you've been going through lately, perhaps you sense that. And perhaps that's not the case for you. Maybe you don't feel weak in the faith and on shaky ground, but maybe that day is coming. And it's good to be reminded, to be encouraged, that God is able to strengthen you. Perhaps you've been influenced by the world's idea of strength. Perhaps the idea of strength that has been shaped in your mind is coming from the culture around you. And discovering that has become the reality in discovering what is shallow. Because the message of the world says that a strong and confident and powerful CEO, that is strength. Strength comes from dominance and being able to be just very assertive with who you are and whatnot. And sometimes the world says to women, in order to be strong, you need to be sexy. You need to be powerful over those around you. And those are empty. Those are clearly wrong. They steer us away from the strength that God is talking about here in His Word. Now, the next two examples of strength aren't so bad from this world, but they're not the best either. Perhaps the strength that is defined in your mind is a strength within the body. That strength is fitness, it's mental strength, it's muscle building. Or perhaps the world's idea of strength that you've bought into is the idea that you must be smart and intellectual. That in order to be strong, you need to be an expert in your field. Is this the kind of strength that God gives to His people that Paul is talking about here in Romans 16? It's not. It's not. Those are worldly ideas of strength. Some terrible and some just not great. What's Paul writing about? What is this saying? Look at the text there with me in verse 25. I'll put it on the screen for you as well. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to what? What does He say? My gospel. My gospel. Paul's not being possessive. He's referring to the gospel that he preaches. And the gospel that he preaches is the gospel that he has written about from chapters 1 to 11, very carefully. Paul's gospel is the gospel that he has just so carefully detailed, theologically, doctrinally. Here's one definition. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, rose again triumphant over all His enemies, so that there is no condemnation for those who believe, and instead, everlasting life. That is the gospel. I love it. God keeps bringing this to my heart and mind, and I believe to share with you. It is through this good news that strength flows to you and to me. The only other time Paul uses this Greek word of strength, sterizo, in the book of Romans is at the very beginning, in chapter 1. And what's neat is chapter 1 and chapter 16 have a lot of parallels. So if we go back to that verse, where does he use this other word? He uses it here. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. We can understand what this strength idea is as we look at how it's being used in Romans. He He's not talking about muscle building here. He's talking about faith building. Amen? The strength we receive from God according to the gospel is a spiritual strength for our faith. God is able to strengthen your soul and my soul in faith through this good news. God is able to strengthen us to live lives of faith, to think things of faith, to speak words of faith, all through the saving work of Jesus Christ. As I said earlier this fall in my message about the gospel, the gospel is not something we need only once in order to get saved. It's not something we just relied upon way back when we gave our heart to the Lord and believed in faith. It's not just something that got us into a relationship with Jesus and then it's forgotten. The truth is, we never outgrow our need for the gospel. Amen? We never outgrow our need for the gospel. We need the gospel every day. I need the gospel every day. One other verse of reminder about that truth is here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's read it together. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Now, we could spend a lot of time looking at these verses and look at there in 25 to 27 there in your text. I'm not going to spend a ton of time here. You could do that this afternoon. But I want us to notice the train of Paul's thought here. So he begins, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to two things, according to one thing, the gospel, which is further described in two ways, the preaching of Jesus, the revelation of the mystery." That's how he's describing the gospel. The gospel is the preaching, the proclamation of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a mystery that has been revealed so that all nations might have faith and follow him. You see that? Might have faith and follow him. The revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. The gospel is a mystery that has been revealed so that all nations might have faith and follow him, so that all might believe and obey. So the first chapter in this final doxology have much in parallel, as I said. I want to look at one other verse from the first chapter, and that's 1:17. Let's read it together. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The gospel and God's work of grace in our lives to strengthen our faith should be met with a response. Amen? What God has done, what God is doing, should be met with a response. And what should that response be as we close out this year? I believe there is only one response, and that is that we give glory to God, to the only wise God. Be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you have written a doxology? Just out of curiosity. I didn't think so. I don't think I ever have. But I want to challenge us today. Challenge you. To write a doxology at the close of this year. Like Paul wrote one at the close of this letter. Like the psalmists wrote them at the close of their psalms. Would you write a doxology at the close of this year? Take a moment this afternoon or even tomorrow. Write a word of glory to God. Write a word of glory to God. And as we think about resolutions, A lot of our New Year's resolutions are horizontal, right? They're maybe health related or fitness related, and those are good. We need those. But think about the vertical resolutions. Think about the vertical resolutions. Let's resolve together. Let's resolve as individual followers of Christ to grow in 2018 in our passionate pursuit of the glory of God. So I wrote out a little prayer for myself and put it beside my computer. And it really is the song that we have sung before. In my life, Lord, be glorified in 2018. In my church, Lord, be glorified in 2018. In my community, Lord, be glorified in 2018. I think we could sing that together. Just a couple spontaneous songs today. I think we know the tune. If you know it, just sing it with me. We're going to go, in my life, in my church, in my community, be glorified, okay? In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Now let's sing, in my church, Lord, in our church, right? It's ours. It's God's church. Actually, let's say in your church, God, because it is His church. Amen? And with your eyes closed, in your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today. How about in our town, Lord? And in our town, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In our town, Lord, be glorified today. Oh, that would be the prayer of our hearts. Not our glory, not the glory of our mayor or the glory of our prime minister or the glory of our whatever, but the glory of God in our lives, in our city, in our neighborhoods. Let that be our passionate pursuit in 2018. May that be our frequent and fervent prayer. Live for His glory, church, and be strengthened through His gospel. Amen? Let us pray. God, only wise, only holy, only almighty, only merciful. God, there is none like You. There is none like You. And through the highs and the lows of 2017, through the mountain peaks and valleys to come in 2018, You remain the same, most glorious, most awesome God. May we live for You and You alone. Because we recognize today that is why we were made. That is why we were created. Male and female, in Your image, to glorify You. So, Father, we glorify You today as Your church. We're amazed at who You are and all You've done. And we are so grateful that You love us so much that you long to strengthen Your church. You long to establish us and firmly fix our hearts and our minds and our lives upon You. So strengthen us, Lord, we pray. We plead that promise today. Strengthen us today. Strengthen us in 2018 for Your glory and for only Your glory. through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in his name we pray. Amen.